Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The Air Force was an early adopter of an online concept, a self-service personnel portal for its service members. But that system, called MyPERS, was getting a little long in tooth. It's been undergoing a thorough update. Air Force CIO Bill Marion explains why the system is so important and what they're doing.
The MyPERS application is really the front customer-facing portal, if you will, to all of our what we call total force military and civilian personnel out there. So if there's a guard, active, a reserve element, or a civilian, we use this as this customer-facing portal to access all your military records, your civilian pay and entitlements, some of those interfaces, frequently asked questions, common forms, basically everything. This is really your first one-stop shop to human resource management tools inside the Air Force. So it's really our central repository where we really want people to go to first to get basically service needs or questions answered. There's some basic communications, chat lines. There's mechanisms to notify our Total Force Service Center desk, online personnel forms. So anything around that is really the core focus of the MyPERS application, which of course is tied to all the back-end HR systems that provide the underlying data to that application.
And I was going to ask, there must be links to out-of-Air Force types of databases and functions too, because you're part of DOD.
Correct. Principally on the civilian side, most of the military applications are housed inside the Air Force ecosystem, if you will. But certainly the civilian applications principally tied into the OPM and DOD system. So those are the ones with more of the external interfaces. But it is certainly a hybrid across both of those sides.
And this system has a pretty long history of development, correct?
It's definitely more than 10 years that we've been using that system as kind of our forward-facing customer portal, if you will.
But it does go back a long time, so this is the current iteration is not what the Air Force started with 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely gone through modernization and upgrades. Principally, though, the platform has been built mainly in the content side of it, so additional capabilities, additional interfaces, additional, like you said, external applications that we interface with. Prime example, the entitlements and benefits capability that we service for the entire DOD, that connection was done over the last couple of years. So all facets of it have definitely grown with respect to the FAQ depth, the forms depth, and the information that we provide out of it. Absolutely.
Give me a sense of what kind of traffic it gets, what kind of load that it has to handle on a daily basis or yearly.
I would say there's numbers of 10,000 plus per month that come in. And again, it's all facets from a personnel servicing manager to an actual airman that's looking for their own personnel data, because it also services our staffers that perform those HR tasks. But it is literally in the tens of thousands per month. So over the course of the year, over 100,000 plus queries and interfaces are gone through on a regular basis. I think the numbers are upwards of around 300,000 annually.
How many applications would you say are actually attached to it?
Principally four or five principal applications. Again, entitlements and benefits. There's some military applications, but the one that it principally interfaces with is the core of our HR data. So which we call MIL-PDS, which is the Air Force Military Personnel kind of repository for all HR data. So while there's not a large number of applications, there's certainly one very principal one that holds everything from when you're recruited in the Air Force through your military pay, through promotions and boards and all those kind of things. So that one application alone services a lot of data for every airman.
And just from an architectural standpoint, does MyPERS house the data itself that is accessed through these four or five major applications, or do they exist in separate databases, separate systems, and there are links?
They are separate systems, but they're more than links. They're actually system interfaces. So it's not like a hyperlink. It is definitely a true system-to-system interfaces, almost like an electronic data interchange construct where we pull those requisite data elements into the MyPERS system and deliver it through one mechanism. But they're not intrinsically housed in total into MyPERS. There's certainly a large number of that data set that is sometimes temporarily housed there, but most of it's coming from the native core systems themselves, the authoritative data sources.
Give us a sense of the resources required to operate MyPERS in terms of how many people are involved and what sort of facilities are required to house it all.
MyPERS currently is a a dual-run application. So DISA, the central DoD provider, provides the infrastructure support. So that's run out of their data center. The application itself is run out of what we call an organization called the Air Force Personnel Operating Agency. And that organization does the daily upkeep, the support to the functionals to make sure the correct data is provided and the correct applications are linked. So it's kind of a dual responsibility, one side of it providing the core infrastructure and the other side providing the application services.
And it sounds like when you mentioned earlier FAQ and help desk, there's a pretty extensive support mechanism for people that are looking for information.
Absolutely. So Air Force Personnel Center and Air Reserve Personnel Center provide that total, what we call Total Force Service Center construct, which provides, again, that total force, active, guard, reserve view and support for any trouble ticket, any question. And so we have what traditionally in the industry, you know, tier zero, tier one, tier two help desk processes, with MyPERS being that fundamental foundational element, whether that's how they connect with us through that mechanism or whether that's where we pull the FAQs or forms or whatever the airman needs to process an HR process.
And talk a little bit about how this is all programmed. I recall it wasn't that many years ago where the Air Force had a really big cadre of coders, people that were versed in software programming. How does it work nowadays?
The MyPERS application is principally a COTS application. It's the underpinning is an Oracle Customer Relation Management System, a CRM. What we principally do isn't really the hard coding side of it. It's the population, if you will, of the data, population of the FAQs, forms, using it for the chat. So it's more, and this actually helps us with this migration to the cloud, which is really, it's more of a software as a service to us, where we're applying data and adding data and managing that data for those HR actions. It's much less of a development activity per se in the traditional sense, as much it is of using a COTS application and then and building data on top of it.
All right, let's get to that cloud strategy that you mentioned. And what is the cloud strategy? First, maybe give us the prior state in terms of hosting and where it is that you are heading with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, as I mentioned, the infrastructure was managed by another organization. That infrastructure was going end of life, is several releases behind. The infrastructure was older versions of Windows platform, which, of course, from a cybersecurity perspective, we knew we wanted to remedy that, especially in the post-OPM days. So we knew we wanted to go to a new platform. We had a very serious commitment from industry to help us move forward. And the vernacular is a level four data center, which is really what that means to us, is it allows us to house Privacy Act information, critical DoD information at a higher level than the traditional federal FedRAMP standards. And so we entered into a work in progress to see how we'd work through that, and we were able to successfully attain the accreditation through DISA and the DoD accreditation authorities to allow us to begin that migration. And that occurred back in the August timeframe. So where we're moving is really getting from that a more antiquated server architecture into a cloud construct. Again, FedRAMP Plus, Level 4, those acronyms are a little bit technical, but what they really mean is they meet the DoD criteria for security and accreditation. Things like fault tolerance, contingency of operations, failover across data center sites was absolutely critical, again, in improving the cybersecurity platform and also providing the agility and strength of the underlying infrastructure.
I wanted to ask you about accreditation. Do you mean accreditation of MyPERS before it could be migrated, or did you mean accreditation of the places to which it would be migrating?
It's actually both. The way the cloud accreditation process is being formulated today is you accredit the infrastructure and you accredit the application, because conceivably, say you were talking about Amazon or an AT&T, or just pick your cloud provider of choice, theoretically you would want to credit the underlying infrastructure one time and the actual applications separately. We're in essence doing that with the MyPERS, which is we're going through the accreditation process, the Level 4 data center, with the industry partner, because that is principally upon them. They go through a third-party approving official who then takes those findings to the DoD for approval. Also, on the application side, we're going through that in the more traditional risk management framework process of applying those security controls to the application itself. So it is definitely a partnership between both the infrastructure provider and the application provider.
And so with respect to the applications, somehow you have to be able to separate them from the old infrastructure that doesn't really count anymore and evaluate them separately and apart from that infrastructure. How do you do that?
Well, we had a good framing from the first time. Like I mentioned, we run infrastructure and the application somewhat separate today. They certainly rely upon each other. But that accreditation kind of framework was already there, and I think that really helped us going forward into the cloud because we were already thinking in the mindset for MIPERS. Some other applications, we don't do that, but in this particular application, we are. So we've already been able to segment the two application and infrastructure pieces apart. And so this is just what I would call the maturation of that to the next level. The key with it really was that Oracle infrastructure approval that they did through the third-party evaluator. We don't really have authority over that from a DoD except to approve or disapprove the findings. So really a lot of that becomes incumbent upon the industry partner, in this case Oracle, to work through that.
But with respect to your own applications, does that accreditation come from within DoD? Say, does DISA do that?
DISA has been a principal partner. So Mr. Hickey and the team out there have been huge supporters. So principally, though, and I don't recall the acronym, but the DSOG, it's basically the DoD Security Working Group that goes through the accreditation and provisional ATOs. So DISA provides the initial recommendations and kind of key advocacy to a cross-service. So Army, Air Force, Navy all has a say in that accreditation. But yes, it did go through the DoD approval processes back in that August timeframe when it was approved through that DSOG.
All right, so you have MIPERS. Let's talk about the big questions. Why the thought of moving to the cloud in the first place?
So the principal focus was really continuing to provide improved customer service to the airmen, right? I mean, it's getting to improve self-service, it's getting to improve workflows. In essence, all of those activities that an airman goes through in their day-to-day life, whether it's a promotion board, whether it's a form to get an entitlement or benefit, is improving that connection to the Total Force Service Center and then getting responses in a more timely manner. So having an updated platform, improved communication channels, it also provides an on-ramp to what we're trying to do on our HR mobile, which is providing a mobile front end to the MIPERS application. Those additional service features were absolutely critical in just improving the overall customer experience, if you will. We sometimes don't provide enough support to that area, but these upgrades, both moving to the cloud, the agility and access to that data, and then the overall, you know, feature set was absolutely critical.
So it sounds like you really had two objectives for this. One is to get away from an infrastructure that was aging and obsolete and maybe not so secure, and also on the front end, improving the user experience in a big way.
Absolutely. Then in the user experience, we sometimes talk about the aging infrastructure because that's kind of the issue in front of us all, but certainly the first and foremost was providing improved HR customer services. I would say on the agility side of the application too, having more redundancy in the application. So by moving the cloud, of course, you get the redundancy across regional areas. So the Air Force is global, right? So people accessing the cloud service from the East Coast sometimes get a different experience than on the West Coast. So getting more to a cloud approach allows us more agility and more improved speed to the application itself. There's also some challenges with maintainability of the software, certainly with the older platform. And then the last one, you know, post-OPM, there's a huge sensitivity to making sure that, I'll call it every I dotted, T crossed with respect to the stability and security of the platform. Patching, server remediation issues, all of the core infrastructure hardening, I call it cyber hardening, was really also critical to this. Was sometimes we say we can't trust cloud, but we fundamentally believe this takes us a huge step forward with ensuring our common platform is stable, patched, and secure across the board.
And I want to get more into security, but first I wanted to ask you, by having it all, MIPERS all housed in the cloud, do you think it would be more... you think it would make it easier to add applications or add functionality, user experience type things, because you don't have to deal with the old infrastructure anymore?
Absolutely. In fact, there's one prime example that we're able to add with the MyPurse upgrades, which is a thing called policy automation. So one of the big capability adds is when you have that policy automation tool, you can start to all these new policies with respect to whether it's transgender, whether it's maternity leave, all these things like Enforce the Future or other activities that bring new policies. Well, ultimately, they have to be implemented in IT systems. So these policy automation tools that are provided out of these cloud products also allow us to have more agility and speed with getting the IT systems to support the policy changes as they come through. So we believe that's going to be, within the next 6 to 12 months, really going to help us provide more speed in meeting those sometimes downward-directed DOD or presidential directives on how we support our personnel.
So that really is a form of agility for you.
Oh, absolutely it is. And I would tell you, coming into this position in the A1CIO, that was one of my biggest awakening moments. All of these policy changes that you think are just policy, but again, I'll take maternity leave and say it's to 12 months. Ultimately, that has to be tracked and resourced and managed through an IT system. So every single one of almost, I would say 99% of all HR policy changes have an IT impact. So agility in our systems is absolutely critical. And that's where these as a service models of being able to, I'll call it pay for and add in a service very quickly, is very important to us.
All right, let's get on to that issue that you started to talk about, which is security and assurance for all of this. And when anyone moves to the cloud, that seems to be the first question. That's part of the objective of the whole FedRAMP process. Tell us what the concerns were and how you decided to address them and what kinds of decisions had to be made with respect to, could you rely on this from a security standpoint?
Absolutely. And I would say we rested a lot on that third-party assessor. So they come in under the FedRAMP and even the FedRAMP Plus rules is you get a third-party assessor to come in and assess your low, medium, and high risks that you have across both the infrastructure and the application. So there was distinct teaming between the industry partner, between the DISA partners, and between the Air Force partners to really understand not just we can or can't trust cloud, but where are the risks, where are the intrinsic areas where we have to manage risk? So they did a phenomenal job in giving us very granular information so that we could assess what we need to do to either remediate or it was an issue that basically didn't warrant the additional cost. And so we went through that process literally over probably a month or two in the approval process and garnered support that we were managing the correct amount of risk within the cloud adoption. So applying the FedRAMP Plus controls, working through the 3PAO, the third-party assessor, working through the DSOC, all of that together in a very tight teaming arrangement was absolutely critical. And I think it showed that we were doing extreme due diligence in a great way to ensure that we were securing this application, which certainly houses some pretty sensitive information.
Now, that accrediting the body that did the assessor body, was that a contractor or was that someone within government?
The third-party assessor is intrinsically a non-governmental, so it's an industry. In this case, it was a leading 3PO element that does it for federal and does it for industry. So those are, I haven't seen any of those that have been federal. They are external providers.
Sure, can you name?
And really, it's the external auditor look. It's like the Ernst & Young or Price Waterhouse kind of look at the data center.
And who was yours?
In this case, it was Coalfire.
Okay. So then I guess this moves us on to the issue of DISA and its partners. So was DISA kind of like the broker for cloud providers on behalf of the Air Force?
I can't say for the cloud provider. Certainly for this cloud instant, they absolutely were. And they were the most instrumental in making sure that we could work through the security steps, that we could work through the accreditation and the configuration. All of those areas, DISA was a huge partner in this migration.
So where are we now with respect to the migration? Where do you stand?
In very short order, from about August timeframe from the approval to December, we've stood up both a dev, a test, and an operational unit. It is not active with respect to external entities being able to connect. We're still working through a couple technical things internal to the cloud configuration with the industry partner. But I would say we're at the 90%. We're hoping to go live in a 30 to 60 day window, which is pretty phenomenal when you consider going from the approval process inside of 6 months for literally one of the largest applications that we have in the Air Force. So working through the cloud access points and email configuration. So very technical level. One of the challenges with this fundamentally was we haven't done this before, right? So building the technical base, building an understanding on what needed to be configured, what didn't need to be configured, and that's literally what we're at. The big rock areas of cloud access points and software stand-up and data migration, all of that has been done in very short order.
And is this being done by a combination of Air Force, industry, and DISA?
Absolutely. And one area I'd definitely like to stress is that teamwork was key. So the DISA team, the Air Force CIO team with General Bender and his team, 24th Air Force, who provides our computer network defense activities, General Murphy and General Wilson and his team, as well as our internal personnel operating agency organization down in San Antonio. All of those elements. And of course, last but not least, the Oracle side from the industry partnership. Just working through every technical detail, security control, configuration guideline that we needed to work through. It was absolutely key.
And what about the cloud provider itself? Who is it, and are they already housing the information, but even though it's not actively deployed yet to the service members?
So Oracle is providing this as a software as a service mechanism. So they have an arrangement with the infrastructure provider themselves, and that's an arrangement that I'm not at liberty to talk to, because that's a proprietary thing on their behalf. But Oracle to us is the total force deliverer of the from an industry partnership perspective.
So with Oracle as kind of the front end to the cloud provider, they have a contractual arrangement with someone that is a infrastructure provider, but that's between them, and you can't discuss that publicly, correct?
That's correct. And so the 3PO, or that third-party assessor, is basically working through Oracle and that infrastructure provider as a total solution. So it isn't a dissected solution. It is a complete look at the application and the infrastructure.
So right. In effect, the software provider virtualizes the whole issue of dealing with the infrastructure for you, and then
correct.
You really don't have to worry about the infrastructure. It becomes Oracle's problem, so to speak.
Correct. And one of the stress points for us is, as an HR organization, certainly is we don't want to be running servers if we don't have to be running servers, right? That's an infrastructure layer that ideally, if we can provide, if we can get it as a service, much like you get electricity, you don't deliver your own transformer, right? The electric company delivers you electricity. This is the same kind of construct where we can focus on what we do best in the HR side, and we'll let the industry partners that deliver service and server infrastructure and application infrastructure, let them do what they do best. And I think that's where the teaming arrangement really benefits us both, is it allows us to focus on the MyPerS application and the total force support that it provides.
And when do you hope to go live?
As I mentioned, we're in about a 30 to 60-day window. Again, we're working through those final technical configuration guidance and approvals. So. But we're literally in the last 90%, or last 10% of the 90% journey. So,
and what would you give as advice, having been through all of this, to other organizations, DOD or civilian, that are contemplating putting a really important application set into the cloud?
One, I think the message that we've sometimes had that we can't trust the cloud. I think we can trust the cloud. I think there are certainly steps that we have to walk through. Again, those FedRAMP controls, the approval processes, those teaming arrangements are absolutely critical. So, I mean, the strategic message, I think, fundamentally is we can move to the cloud and we can do it smartly, and we can do it even with sensitive applications if we have the right industry partnership, if we have the right DOD partnerships and the right commitments on the, in this case, the Air Force side, to build those teaming arrangements and to work through the technical challenges and security questions that come up. Hopefully, you've been able to convey, I mean, the importance to delivering improved services. I think cloud is a fundamental enabler to that. And so by tackling those challenges kind of head on with the right kind of team, I think this is going to do only grow in the future. I think everyone recognizes cloud is the future, but I also argue that it's the now and how we need to migrate applications to provide that additional flexibility and capability.
Air Force CIO Bill Marion. Tomorrow, in part two of my interview, Marion will describe the thinking about why this critical system is moving to the cloud. Share it with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends. Still to come on Federal News Radio, a look ahead to the 2016 legislation that could affect federal employees. Jessica Clement of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association weighs in. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.